Okay, we're going to have a couple hours of open lines for you this Independence Day into our weekend, and here we go. Hey, by the way, as you know, I've got a friend in St. Louis who has a police training company. He trains police officers nationwide. It's called Line of Duty, Ron Barber's company. And Ron's been a guest on our program three, four times over the last 7 or 8 years. And as you know, we've got a huge police audience. I mean, huge. So every once in a while, Ron's going to be popping on for just a couple minutes, and he'll be playing some actual audio that police officers have given him from events that have occurred all around this country. I mean, whatever it might be, whether it's a UFO landing in the woods and the police officers are heard on tape saying this, or things going on in the different areas of our cities, crime and things like that. But these are things you've really have never heard before. These are between police officers. So Ron's putting that together for us. And every once in a while, once a month or so, he's going to pop on and play a few of those for us. Now, we've got open lines for you. Anything goes, sort of. And I've still got to tell you this, too. I have never seen a time where more people seem frustrated, disillusioned, disjointed about things. And I'm beginning to put my finger on it. I think it has to do with 2012. You know, I think as we get close to this date, strange things are happening. I mean, look at this oil spill. My gosh. Okay, let's have open lines when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Lots of cities this year, because of the economy, have canceled their fireworks display over the Independence weekend. They just can't afford it. Man, so that's not a sign of the times. Let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Wendy, first of all, in Peoria, Illinois, to get things going. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
That's my daughter's name. You know that? That's my daughter's name.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep, sure is. Named
oh, darn.
Peter Pan.
I'm not sure where my folks got it from. But I was calling to talk about the dreams and everything. There's one I had to tell you about, and Rodney wants me to tell you because I was able to get through the first time, no problem.
Great. Good for you. What was it?
Well, I was in Iraq in 2005, 2006, and this one particular night, I had a dream that I was in a car and got a phone call, and my cousin Rodney wanted to see me. He wanted to talk to me. He had a very important message to tell me, and he was very adamant that it was important and I need to see you. You need to get here. So he's giving me directions, and we get to the building where he was, and the dream was real as I'm talking to you now, and kind of like a TV show, how it goes from one scene back and forth to the other. That's
yeah.
How the dream was. And when I got up to the building, still talking to Rodney, and he's got his grin and goofy giggle and whatnot, and I went to open the door, and I woke up to this boom. Well, apparently we had taken 6 rockets that morning. I slept through that, but the outgoing artillery woke me up. And my body was waking up, and my heart and my soul's like, no, go back to sleep. Go see Rodney. Well, the thing is, my cousin Rodney, now this dream was January, February 2006. My cousin Rodney was murdered February 19th, 1984.
Oh, my gosh.
And I haven't received the message yet, but that day we were out on missions and whatnot, and it was one of those, I was very alert that day. And when I came home, I was kind of hesitant on telling Aunt Virginia, Rodney's mom, about it. But I told her, and she was just tickled as all get out.
Do you have any idea what the message is supposed to be?
I don't. I know, but I do know that he was watching out for me, and so was my grandfather, because there were 8 times that I can count that I know of when they were, you know, me and my crew, we were given a mission, and then at the last minute there was a lineup change and we'd be switched with somebody. And 8 times the other team hit an IED.
Oh, my
gosh. I went through my tour completely unscathed. And last year I was doing a little research into my grandfather, who was a combat engineer in World War II. And during 1940, the winter of 1944, the Battle of the Hurtgen Forest, My grandfather was attached to the 109th, 110th, 112th Infantry, the 28th Infantry Division, Pennsylvania Army National Guard, the Bloody Bucket. When I was in Iraq, I was with the 109th, the 110th, the 112th, 28th Infantry Division, Pennsylvania Army National Guard.
Synchronicity, Wendy.
Yeah, they were looking out for me, but I thought, well, whatever Rodney has to tell me, it'll come. We'll visit again.
It'll come, and I'm glad you're back safe and sound, by the way. Let's go to Mike in Mission, Texas, first-time caller. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing.
This is great. Long-time listener. And police officers, speaking of police officers.
Perfect. Hey, I think you're going to enjoy this. Every once in a while, we're going to do these little crime time vignettes of that police officers have sent to Ron. And, you hear them all the time, but they're kind of neat.
That's great. That's great. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Good. I was wanted to get in when David was there, but since he's out, I was hoping that maybe you could steer me somewhere.
Okay.
Someplace I could do some research on some dreams that I've had throughout my life. One of them, the main one that keeps coming back every so often, but it's I'll be asleep and I feel this even with my eyes closed. I feel like everything gets darker. I don't know if that makes any sense, but just a real evil feeling and a feeling of something evil trying to kind of suck my soul out of my body. You know,
you feel like things are closing in on you in the dream.
Just it's kind of like I'm awake, but I can't open my eyes. I'm paralyzed. And I'm trying to kick my legs to wake myself up because then I know I could come out of it. But this thing just keeps tugging at me, and I just have this feeling that if I let myself fall back asleep, that it's gonna kill me, or I'm gonna die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get sucked out. I have no idea what that is. That's been going on for years. Used to happen a lot more often a few years ago.
Before you were a police officer, or during?
During.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's job related.
I don't know. I did have one guy once tell me he was really whacked out, and he was telling me that he was going to come and see me in my dreams. And I had a weird – that was the first time I had that dream. It was after that guy told me that.
I would go to the website, very easy to remember, visionaryliving.com. Visionaryliving.com. Send an email to Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and she'll help you out. Just simply tell her that you're a coast-to-coast regular, and she'll jump on board. But and now I've got to ask you this. I always ask police officers when they call in, what's been the most bizarre run you've ever had?
The most bizarre what?
Run or case that you had to cover.
Bizarre.
One that you just never forget.
Well, the one I never forget, there's actually two of them. It was an unsolved murder. Where this girl got shot by the side of the road. I was there maybe seconds after it happened, maybe a 30 seconds to a minute after it happened. And it's just remains unsolved.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember the girl's name is, I'll never forget, this happened in 95. The girl's name is Teresa Garrison. It's never been solved. They've been close to developing a suspect and that kind of thing, but it was really, it hit me real hard. It was because of the violence of it. You know, she was trying to get away from somebody and they shot her in the back while she was running.
Do they think it was random or she knew the person?
They suspect that she knew the person and, they just could never prove anything on it.
Yeah. They probably know who it is. They just can't get him.
Yeah. The other one was a carjacking that we had, a few years ago where these guys carjacked a man and his two-year-old daughter. I was the investigator on call at the time, and I got the call about 8:30 in the morning. They found her body, the little girl's body, still strapped into the child seat by this...
sicko.
I guess like a rest area park. These guys stole the car, killed the father, and on their way to escape into Mexico, they just dropped her off in some tall weeds while she was still alive.
Oh.
And they just left her there. And you know how it is, South Texas, it's very hot. But she spent the whole next day in those tall weeds just cooking, basically. And when we found her, actually a Border Patrol agent found her, called us out, and, you know, she was still hanging on to the tall.
My God. Why can't they just take the car, Mike? You know? Just take the car. Go.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about that.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Man, that's a tough job, isn't it? Wow. North Hollywood, California. Carlos, you're with us on Coast to Coast. Welcome back, Carlos.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about two things. First, about this new penny that was issued this year. Have you seen the new Shield penny?
I do not.
There's a new penny out. It looks I was thinking there's a shield, but there's an eagle in front of it usually. This is just a shield, and it says E Pluribus Unum at the top. It's a new 2010 issued penny. And I had heard nothing about it coming out. Usually it's in the news or, you know, something somewhere. But I got to tell you, I kind of got a little anxiety feeling when I looked at this thing at first. It didn't look American coin. You know, I'm thinking, wow, I got another Australian coin or something. And no, it's a real American coin. It's been out issued. My bank could only tell me as early as January.
Well, I'm looking at some pictures of it right now on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And there they are.
Yep.
They haven't even noticed that. Now, if you had told me there were new $50 bills or 100, then I'd probably hopefully go out and remember them. But pennies, no.
Other thing
was, should keep as many pennies as we have right now.
Right. Yeah, I remember when they were trying to get rid of them back in the 70s, I think it was.
People hated pennies. They were thinking about just not going to issuing them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Round everything off. Oh, well, what else?
About Kevin Mitnick in the new cyber warfare department.
Sure.
Have you heard anything at all about maybe what they're doing? I mean, I hear him on from time to time, and I used to know him way back in the early 80s on telephone lines. What do you call it? Phone freaking?
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious now what he's doing for the president.
Kevin is consulting for a lot of people right now. You know, since he came out of jail being a hacker, he's consulting, and he's doing very well doing that. I don't know exactly who all his clients are.
Well, there's a cyber warfare department.
I'm sure there are that kind of thing that is going on. It's got to be going on.
I mean, isn't it not a part of the of a new branch of the government that they're?
Oh, they've got to have that. Absolutely. I mean, cyber warfare is huge. I mean, you could bring down governments with computers,
mm-hmm.
and there's more going on than we know about.
Right. Yeah, and then the red and blue teams are constantly doing drills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. DJ in Chicago, Illinois, on the wild card line. Hey, DJ, how are you?
Hey, George. Fine. I called you once before, a couple of years ago. I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
I call because you got open lines, and I heard people talking about premonitions and dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm calling. I have dreams a few weeks before someone's going to die. I dream about that, and they do die usually. And I just wanted to mention that. And I also, most importantly, I listen to you all the time, and I'm very upset. I'm sure a lot of other people in the Chicago area, we don't get half of your program anymore.
They have flipped that for the last 5 years from 4 hours to 2 to 4. Now I think it's back to 2. We're trying to get it back to 4 again. They've got a long involved story.
I'm very sad because you got some great guests, and then I we're cut off for the last 2 hours.
I will say this: we are number one in Chicago by leaps and bounds, which is a very good thing.
I believe it.
Yep.
I hope we can get your whole program back again because it's very sad that
Don't forget, there's Streamlink if you need it.
Okay.
For just pennies a day.
Okay. Thanks, George.
Okay, you're welcome. Next up, let's go to Joni in St. Louis. East of the Rockies. Hello, Joni.
I'm a long-time listener. You know, I've had an experience when I went back to college in 98, and I was always running late. And I don't know if it was a guardian angel, or as some people would say, or if it was intuition. But I was running late, as usual, and I was taking a shortcut. And you being familiar with St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
you probably know the area I'm talking about. But there's a small berm area off of Highway 40 that runs into Gibson to this college. across Market Street.
Yep.
But so I was running so late. But I didn't have my radio on as usual, very quiet. But I'd like to, if there was going to be a green light, I was going to try to run across Market in my car.
That's a long run.
It's a long light. And I was so late, I thought, oh, man, you know, let's gun it. And my normal habit would be to gun, the green light.
Sure.
But something told me, Joni, slow down. You have plenty of time. And it was completely quiet because of those high hills on both sides called, berms. So as I'm slowing down, two cop cars are going west at about 55, 60 miles an hour. And they had their sirens on, but you couldn't hear the siren until you were practically
going
through the intersection.
Yeah.
And if I had been in that intersection 2 seconds earlier, I would have been creamed.
Bam. Yep.
So I parked over on Gibson, and I just sat there for about 10 minutes shaking before I went to my class because I realized what a close call it was. But that I think that was a intuition.
Absolutely.
Situation.
That happened to me once. I've talked about that. Same kind of thing. Sometimes I wonder if we're time traveling, too. I wonder if you were able to travel into the future. You saw this accident, and then somehow you were able to convince the physical part of you, to just slow down.
Right. I mean, I just had to tell everybody in my class, I was almost creamed. I mean, it just shook me up so badly that I even called the police department telling them they should slow down on their calls.
Secret is to just go with that intuition, Joni. You've got to do that. Josh is in Silver Spring, Maryland, and a first-time caller. Hey, Josh.
Hi, George. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I've been here listening to you about 6 years, and a lot of crazy stuff has happened in my life. Like, I think I have psychic abilities. I've been followed by numbers and stuff like that. But one story I want to tell you, and I really would like to know if you've heard of this before, if you could steer me in the direction for some help
or
insight on it. About 4 years ago, I was sitting in my car. My girlfriend at the time had walked into Walmart, and I was just waiting for her to come back after the Walmart. And she came back to the car, and she sat down in the car, and as it stroked midnight exactly, her cell phone said she had a voicemail, and her phone never rang. And so she listens to the voicemail, and she screams and drops the phone, and she's all freaked out, and I listened to the voicemail, and at first it's just static, and then there's this demonic-sounding voice that was hard to hear what it was saying, but I did make out that it said, like, I can see you. And then I heard some static again, then my voice, clear as day, I'm waiting for you. And then I heard some other woman's voice saying things I couldn't hear at all. The whole voicemail lasted about 3 minutes.
Jeez.
And it was really bizarre. And have you heard of anything like that happening to someone else before?
I have had voicemails come in, Josh, and the phone didn't ring. But it was a human being. It was somebody on the other line. And for whatever reason, it just went straight to voicemail, and I never heard it ring. And it wasn't like I was on the phone. I wasn't using it.
Right.
But I've never heard of these strange voicemail messages like that.
Okay.
No wonder she got scared.
I didn't even have a phone. So there was no way it could have been some kind of thing where I accidentally called her. And, I was just sitting in the car waiting for her, and then my voice was on it.
Do you still have that voicemail?
I really wish I did, because it was her boss's phone at the time, and I'm not with her anymore. But, it was a very bad relationship. I thought maybe there was some that could have had some connection to it if this was supernatural, which I definitely believe it is. It's the only thing that I've actually experienced that powerful before.
Absolutely. It pushed you over the pushed her over the edge, maybe even pushed the relationship over the edge. Man, this has got to be one of the fastest half hours we've ever had. More open lines continue in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Time for our traditional shout-out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, the hundreds and hundreds of them, Streamlink members, thank you for what you do. More work coming up for you, Coast Insiders, and some other little projects that we're working on, a little video thing for you. XM Satellite Channel 165, then the various chat rooms and groups, the NighthawkZone.com folks. Hello to all of you, good people. Hope you have just a tremendous Independence weekend. Have some fun. Don't eat too much barbecue. Imaginative Worlds Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the Twitter groups, the Facebook groups, MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, our good buddies there, the Southern Cal, SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and our buddy Greg in St. Louis, toiling away over the holidays. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And a special birthday greeting tonight to Bad Boy from the NighthawkZone.com. Here's a guy who took this website, turned it into a chat forum, very supportive of Coast to Coast and what we do here. They've made it a fun place to be. You know, on the internet, you've got those haters out there. They don't like anything about life. They probably don't even like themselves. But over at the NighthawkZone.com, they were just a group of people who just enjoy life. They've got their ups and downs. You know, the Moondog who calls in once in a while, you know, had bypass surgery. But these are folks right there in America who just enjoy the program and they enjoy the camaraderie of themselves. And it's headed up by a guy named Bad Boy. I don't know who he really is, honestly. He lives in Southern California. I know that much. And he loves going to comic conventions. I know that much. But he's really put together just a good group of people. And you have yourself, Bad Boy, a wonderful birthday weekend. And enjoy yourself. And I wanted to personally thank you for the support you've given us here on the program for all these years and many more years to come for all of us. So let's go back to the phones, open lines, and we'll do it again next hour. We have Bob in Granada Hills, California. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, a lot of California calls today.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, geez, I have something to talk about, but I actually came up with something else, too, while I was thinking here.
That happens.
I know. It's weird. Do you ever have something like this in your mind that just sits in your mind for like days and weeks and you're just wondering? It just sits in your head. Like I remember when I was younger, I used to work out a lot, you know, and I used to hang out. I'm a Caucasian male. And most of my friends that were hanging out with were Asians, right? So I got into martial arts, you know, and we work out, but we don't work out for bulk or strength. We work out for speed. So we do reps of low weights, you know, thousands of reps with low weights to get speed. So I remember we used to compete with each other how many boards we could break. It was funny. Like the most I got was 10, and my friend, you know, he beat me. He got 11, but the boards didn't break when he hit them. The bricks that were holding the boards broke.
You're kidding.
No, he sat it on
wow.
The bricks. Oh, there you go. I go, forget it. You win. But, you know, at that point when I was so concentrated and so strong that actually since I was young, I had like the psychic abilities and it was even stronger. I noticed there's a connection between able to like with martial arts or break boards and concentrate really well. Your psychic abilities are 10 times stronger because I was doing things. I'd meditate in a room. I'd sit there and just think really hard and I could make a room temperature change so hot that someone walked in the room just by sitting there. Concentrating, I was wondering, how am I doing this, you know? And the guy goes, why is the room so hot? He goes, I don't know. I'm sitting here concentrating, thinking about stuff, and this is going to sound really weird. I got away from it because I had the ability to actually move objects. It was crazy. Like, I would concentrate real hard.
What would move? Like keys and things like that?
No, well, first it was small things, but then I backed away from it because I thought, you know, I thought it was evil. As humans, we don't know what we're doing. I thought I was possessed. You know, I'm thinking,
oh, what a gift, Bob.
Yeah, I know, but I thought I was pissed. I was standing, this is going to be hard to believe, but if you've been in my room and you could see how hot the room would get just from me sitting there changing the temperature of the room, and once I changed the temperature of the room, my room would get really hot, and then I'd stare concentrated, and I think it's got to be a dark side because what I projected, I focused all my power into a lamp that was on a table, and I moved a 10-pound lamp to the other side of the table. And I went, oh, my God. It scared the hell out of me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's weird. I thought, oh, my God. I thought it was a ghost, but I go, no, I was putting intent to this. And the kind of intent that this was, you know, it was pretty tough. And ever since then, I could actually, like, I had roommates. And if my roommate was sleeping, I could actually stare at the person and jolt them. You ever been in a sleep where you're sleeping and your whole body flinches?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I have a theory for that, though, Bob. I think it happens right before you fall asleep. And it's your astral body leaving the physical body. However, you then realize that you're ready to be in your astral body subconsciously, and it immediately rams you back down into your physical body, and you get that jolt.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's sort of weird, but I had a roommate, you know, and I didn't do it too many times, sort of mean, but I'm with my friends. I go, hey, watch this. My friend's sleeping, and I can actually project, I don't know if it's pain or whatever, into somebody's body, but I can make them shoot up from asleep, up into the air off their bed, like to be electrocuted. And I just watch this, and they hyperventilate, like, oh my God, what was that? You know, people could actually feel my abilities, just like how I move that object. I could influence some people's minds sometimes. It's sort of weird. I could, like, think about.
Well, when you were in high school, do you remember concentrating behind somebody's head, trying to get them to turn around?
Do that all the time. I couldn't in school. I couldn't get a passing grade unless I sat in the back, because if someone was looking at me, I couldn't concentrate. I'd fail the class. I'd have to get the seat in the back of the room, because every time someone looks at me, I turn around, look at their eyes.
Like, you could feel it.
Yeah, I can't concentrate if someone's looking at me. Yeah, you know, right. If it's a female, you know, it's really destructive.
You are tuned in. You've got it. You've got it. Do you still work out, or do you do that? I've been picking up on it the last year or so. Probably not as much as you were doing, but do you do that anymore?
I was actually starting to work out a little bit more, because I was going to, you know, maybe call in and try to move something small in your room. Scare you. I don't know if that'd be a good idea, but.
Try to move our producer, Tom Danheiser, one day.
Off the chair now.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. You take care. Be well. Sally's in Las Vegas on the 7-Eleven line. No, it's the wild card line. Hey, Sally.
Hi, George. How are you? Greetings, blessings.
Whereabouts in Vegas are you?
Well, the Northwest.
I saw the Chris Angel show there.
Uh-huh.
And he is a great, great.
He's unbelievable.
Whatever he is, he's
my
good.
My brother and I used to watch his show on TV, and we would just look at each other like, I'm sorry. I just.
Sorry, we bleeped you. You didn't do that on purpose. Normally, we would have bopped you off the air.
I swear.
Mind Freak was the name of his TV show.
Uh-huh.
And he's coming back for another season, he said.
Oh, is he?
Yep. He sure is. Anyway, what's going on in Vegas?
Well, I had two items that I called about. Two things that I needed the fellow Coast listeners, I need to enlist their help in getting something done.
A little prayer or something?
No. Well, that would always help in any situation. But number one, I called you about, I don't know, 9-10 months ago. And you kind of picked on me about being an animal activist.
No, I would not pick on you.
Yes, you did. But anyway, I'm still waiting for a show on animal activism, specifically Ingrid Newkirk. Or there's a whole host of heads of different animal organizations that you could have on.
We love animals on this show. You know that.
Well, I would love to have other listeners call in or write in. Email you saying that this is a topic that we'd like to hear more about. Yes, it's very depressing, but I just think it's something.
Well, you do know, though, we're animal lovers on this program, right?
Yes, I do know.
Okay,
that.
All right.
I do.
So if we were pulling your leg, it wasn't about the animals. It was probably about you.
Well, yeah, you were picking on me.
That's right.
More specifically.
It's not the animals.
But there is a saying in the animal welfare community, I guess you would call it, that peace begins on your plate. And I think that people really need to think about having a vegetarian or vegan diet, not just for health reasons, not just because they might be.
We're going to have to, because we're not going to be able to eat fish anymore because of this Gulf oil spill.
Yes, and the planet cannot sustain. Like cattle raising and that type of thing.
You can't live on just vegetables, though.
But you can.
Seeds and nuts, maybe.
Anyway, I just think that for us to evolve collectively, that this is something people need to consider.
Yeah, but don't you?
And I'm really asking other Coast to Coast listeners to please contact the program and let you guys know that there are other people out there that are interested in this.
In being what?
Well, vegans? Just in hearing more information about vegetarian vegan topics and the plight of animals in the factory farming.
Well, you know we're going to become a cooking show. We made that announcement.
I missed that show, but I heard you talk about it on a later show.
So we can do segments on, you know, veganism. Is that how you pronounce it? Is that how you say it? Veganism?
Yeah, veganism.
Veganism?
I guess you could pronounce it either way.
Yeah, I would too. Okay.
But I had another topic, or one other thing that I needed
well,
to
do. Well, I've got a lot of phone calls here.
No, but this is very important.
Now what?
It really is important.
More important than what you just said?
Well, that's
You've
more
You've gone
important.
From animal activism to okay. being a vegetarian. What could it be?
Well, here in Las Vegas on KXNT, 8:40 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
Near the end of May, beginning of June, I sent you an email on this. And you sent me a little comment back saying, you know, call the radio station.
Oh, yeah, that's going to start back in August. I can't say too much about it. Just listen to the station. Something big there, okay? We can't give it away, and you're going to spoil it, so don't. I'm not going to let you. Next up, we go to John in Milwaukee, first-time caller. Go ahead, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
First of all, I want to actually make sure that I'm on the program that's being broadcast right now. I'm listening to my radio in Milwaukee. It's close to 3 in the morning, I guess, and you have a host of David Rubin?
David was just on.
Oh, he was just on, so we're getting the broadcast, I guess, a little late here. But I did want to share something with your host, but I don't know if this is the proper form to do so right now.
Well, it's open lines.
Oh, it's open lines.
So you're able to say what you want.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I had was anticipating calling in and about dreams, and it was brought to my attention some time ago that generally in a dream, if you can remember your first dream that you ever had, remember having, that it would have some kind of implication on what your purpose is.
I can barely remember the dream I had last night.
Well, I go to bed every night with anticipation on dreams. I make a dream journal. I dream a lot. And I'm 44 years of age now, and the first dream that I ever remember having was at the age of 5 years old. And this particular dream, it wasn't in a particular place, but the scenery was pitch black, very dark, and it was a disc, a glowing disc, in which I was on top of the disc, and it was revolving very, very slow. And I came to the edge of the disc, and I reached over, and there were skeletons reaching up towards me.
Ooh.
And at that point, I had woke up. Now, that was the very first dream that I had. Now, some years later, I shared that dream with a friend of mine that said that she interpreted dreams. So I shared that particular dream with her.
What did she say?
When I shared it with her, she became very afraid and said she understood what the dream was, but she was too afraid to tell me. So I was a bit perplexed on why couldn't she tell me the dream. So I went into myself, and I wanted to re-experience that dream again. So when I went to sleep, and this, I'm like 40 years old at this time, I had the dream again. But this time in the dream, there was a glow, like a red or orange tinge glow in the darkness. And as far as my eyes could see, there were skeletons. It was just like a vastness of skeletons as I was still on this disc.
Is this like a nuclear bomb or something?
I really don't know. When I shared this dream to another friend of mine that I met in another city via the internet, she said that there was some woman that actually wrote about an experience that she had in hell. And there were some discs in this location, and there was fire all over the place.
Well, this woman who refused to tell you what it was because she was so frightened. I mean, Were you ever able to find out from her what was going on?
No, I've actually was not able to find out what happened or why she wouldn't express it to me. And even today, I'm a bit perplexed. And it's something that there's a continuum on my mind. And I really, and, you know, I know, you know, you're on time scale and there's something else that's really, that's in conjunction with this experience that I'm sharing with you tonight that I really don't, you know, we don't have time to talk about.
Well, what I'd like you to do.
Went through 16 years ago.
All right. What I'd like you to do for this one is just go to visionaryliving.com and send an email to Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and she'll help you out on this case. And she won't hold back, by the way. She'll tell you exactly how she feels. Skype line, August in Chico, California. You're up with us. Hi, August.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
How's your summer going, George?
Summer is going by too fast, August. It really is. I can't believe we're into July already.
I know. It's just cruising.
Too fast. Anyway, what's up?
Oh, I know you hear it all day long, but I just want to tell you I love your show.
Well, sometimes you can't hear it enough.
I'm going to be like some of the other callers tonight and make maybe a request or suggestion for a future show.
Okay, what is it?
You had a guest maybe 6 months ago named Rafael Morgado. He was the inventor of the massive yet tiny engine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting ready to go into production, and he's doing all kinds of a bunch of the stuff that he talked about before. But I was really into that show.
Well, maybe time for an update. We're having a little Skype drop out there, but we'll follow up with that. Let's go to LaShawn in my old hometown of Detroit. Hey, LaShawn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
quick question, maybe you can help me with something. I was thinking about a dream that I had. I love cake, but when I dream about it, it's nauseating to me.
Good.
It's so nasty.
You don't need it all. Too much sugar.
It's horrible. It's always like it tastes maybe like a cake that's been around for centuries, some kind of spice in there that's not known to man, and it's horrible. And then I wake up and I'm nauseated. I can't eat anything sweet or cake or cookies, and I love cake. I don't eat it a lot. I don't eat it a lot, but, you know, if I go somewhere and they say, I want a piece of cake, I was reflecting yesterday, and I'm still nauseated just from reflecting on the dream. So now I don't want cookies. I don't want a piece of cake. I don't want anything sweet. Now, I had some sweet tea today.
But that's a good thing. Do you ever see the movie Office Space?
No.
Oh, you've got to rent it. And look for Milton when he's trying to eat some cake.
Okay.
it is by far one of the funniest parts of that movie. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you see him there. Open lines continue. We'll be back with more. Those of you from Litchfield, Kentucky, Shingletown, California, Winona, Minnesota, Houston, Texas, L.A., Missoula, Montana, don't hang up. We'll be back.